And Tommy, the CFL is back. What do you expect from the Eskimos? Like, do you even know how to rank the Western Conference right now, the West Division in the CFL?
No. I have no clue how the double E are going to perform, what they're going to look like. I mean, they've got a lot of talent. There's no denying that. Trevor Harris coming back. You got Ellingson coming back. Wilder in the backfield now. I thought that was a great add. But, Greggs, where are these guys at? Like, what about guys that were kind of on the cusp and in the later parts of their career? Are they over the hill? What kind of speed will they have? What will be the rust factor and all of that? I don't know. I think it's going to be a wide-open season. It's almost like what we saw going into the bubble last year at the NHL. Like, you've got nine teams. Everybody thinks they've got a chance. Everybody's going to feel like they are good. They like the talent that they've brought in, new coaching staffs. Like, it's crazy to think. It's since the last time the double E were on the field, now the Elks, they've had three coaches. Like, Milanovic didn't even coach a game. You got Elizondo now. No more Jason Moss. I truly do not know. I am excited, though, that we finally get that unanimous vote. Great decision, obviously. Let's go. August 5th. I'm there.
Now, when you look at this whole situation and you talk about the players, what do you think would be the biggest issue? Like, kind of conditioning and ability and or timing for the teams and players?
Strutty, when you played, we talked to NHL players, timing's always the thing, right? With professional athletes and these guys, having not played for 2 years, that's got to be it. Like, maybe we're going to see some sloppy offenses. Maybe we're going to see some defenses with holes that shouldn't be there. I think it will be the timing and guys readjusting, new guys coming into the Canadian game, trying to figure it out on the fly. I mean, they should have had plenty of time to do their homework, but that is what I think it will be. And throw in the fact that there's no preseason. We're going to see training camp. We're going to throw the guys right into the regular season. It's got to be timing, right? That's the logical answer to that question, I would assume. But, I mean, I think the excitement of the fan bases, just people in general seeing these teams back on the field, I think we'll be able to look past that and give it a few weeks. Maybe by September, we're into a nice little rhythm, getting the Labor Day games, the juices are flowing, you're getting into the autumn weather, and you could see what's kind of shaping up in terms of how teams are going to be performing and what we're going to see come playoff time.
Yeah, that's kind of my gut feeling, too, is it'll be that. But, I mean, talk about chaos, right? I mean, you're going to have the opportunity to see some just wild things happen because, the defense, offense, maybe their timing's off, their reads, and then, they have no video. They have really no video of anyone because, everyone's kind of moved around. So I then you touch on the new coaches. Three coaches the Eskimos have had since we last saw a game. I think it's going to be, I'm so looking forward to that August 5th game. I can almost smell the peanuts.
the ones that you sneak in because you're not allowed to have them the stadium, is that right?
That's right, 100%. I'll bring the nuts.
You are a daredevil, I'll tell you what.
Tommy, the NHL playoffs began, and tonight, of course, we have, I guess we can call it the Western Conference because that's what they're playing for, is the Clarence Campbell Bowl between Montreal and Vegas. And we know that Petrie and Merrill and Evans are out tonight for the Montreal Canadiens. They were skating again, all in non-contact jerseys, so who knows if they'll be ready for Wednesday or not. But what did you see from game one of the Islanders Tampa that makes you think, I'll be honest, I don't bet very often, but the odds were just too much in Montreal's favor for the upset, so I had to put down a little bit of cake just to see. I'm
you
picking
did.
Vegas to win, but I actually bet on Montreal because the odds are just too good. You don't get odds like that very often.
It's incredible how nobody's giving the Habs any hope in HE double hockey sticks to get it done, but they're in such a groove right now that you go, well, what if? And we've seen in the last 10, 15 years teams that come in as massive underdogs, but they're playing so well, they figured out a formula that is giving them success, that they're not worried about what the opponent brings to the table to the point where it gets in their head. And the Vegas Golden Knights on paper, tremendous team. Vegas Golden Knights on the ice, tremendous team. And the other thing, too, with Vegas, and this is where I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, okay, look at what Montreal's formulating in terms of the Cinderella story, how they're feeling about their game, getting it done. Incredible, right? But then the Golden Knights, same thing. They go 7 with the Wild. They get over the hump there. Then they drop the first two to the Avs. They played good in game two. And then they win the next four. So they've got to be riding high, too. They're healthy this time around. Pacioretty's been contributing since he's been back in the lineup. Marc-Andre Fleury's playing great. I understand where the odds makers are coming from with this one. But you get a break or two. It's crazy to think that Scheifele gets knocked out of the series against Winnipeg because he does something, a dumb play that cost him the rest of the series. And then the other series against Toronto, they lost Tavares. So I don't know if that streak's going to continue, but those were huge factors and had, you know, big outcomes in the rest of those series. But it doesn't look great going into it for the Habs, but never say never. People are making a big deal about the Cinderella run. I'm curious to see how it goes. I think it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to watch regardless of what happens.
Talking with Tom Guzzola for Tiny Tom's Tiny Tidings here on TSN 1260 on the Gregor Show. I'm Jason Strudwick. Tommy, you know, you talk about that goalie battle, and let me just paint a picture for you. There's no doubt that the Flowers played well, but if you look at the body work in the playoffs of Carey Price and Fleury, I believe Fleury has gifted some goals, whereas Price hasn't. You know, I'm not going to ask you if that continues, but, you know, it feels like you can get to Fleury a little bit, whereas Price has been more rock solid. Is that something I'm maybe reading too much into as we head into this, you know, what looks like a David versus Goliath series?
No, I don't think you're reading too much into it, Strudy. I mean, in that final game against Winnipeg, the Stanley goals, although they were nice shots, they weren't particularly great.
Okay.
But outside of that, you're right. He stood on his head, and that's given the team in front of him confidence to go out and beat Toronto, go out and beat Winnipeg, and those are two good teams, especially in the North Division. Fleury has gifted some. He's prone to. I can recall the one, I think it was game five, where he tried to make a glove save over his right shoulder right in the dying seconds of the period. But outside of that, he buckles it down. Maybe he's kind of like Grant Fuhr, where, like, when you need him most, he's there. Mm-hmm. He's been brilliant, too. But I think Carey Price has been sharper because he has less room for error than Marc-Andre Fleury. And maybe that's part of the swagger of the Golden Knights, where if Fleury lets a bad one in, he knows that he's got three lines and two sets of defensemen that could probably score and make up for that mistake.
Tom Guzzola joins the Edmonton Sports Center, TSN 1260. Tommy, Strudy played with Jaromír Jágr, and Jags is still playing. But how about the Jaromír Jágr of baseball? The young, plucky Bartolo Colon, who at 48 years of age was playing in the Mexican League and just got a big win. He's still playing, 48 years of age.
It's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible, and he threw a complete game, only 90 pitches in the Mexican League. I like the Jágr comparison very much because they're like the same age, but Jágr at least is in shape and is dedicated to fitness. I don't think Bartolo Colon has touched a gym in his 30 years of professional baseball. I had the good fortune of seeing Bartolo Colon in his final MLB season when he was with the Rangers. He started in Arizona one night. And he is a big boy, but he wants to go back to the MLB, boys. Like, his goal is to go back.
Yeah, he wants to pass Juan Marichal for most innings thrown by a Dominican-born player. He needs 46 innings to do it. He hasn't pitched in the majors since 2018, so he's still grinding it out of the Mexican League in hopes of getting the call. Maybe late in the season someone will call him. And, hey, could he be worse than the Jays' bullpen right now, Tommy?
Oh, no. If only they had a bullpen. If you get some veteran savvy like Bartolo Colon, the Jaromír Jágr of baseball, then maybe it'll help. I don't know. People seem to rally around Bartolo Colon. They love having him on his team. He can surprise you with his bat when he gets it off his shoulder. But how about the Blue Jays' bats, boys? Oh, my goodness. How many home runs over the weekend? 8 yesterday, and then 5 the day before, 18-4 they win it. Those young guns are providing a ton of pop, but you're right. That bullpen's got to figure something out. Get some guys in there that can get it done. Get Bartolo in there, please and thank you.
Oh, good. Sign him up, baby. Oh.
It's amazing, like, to be playing at that age. He's older than me. He's 3 years older than me. Yeah. Still playing sports. I could barely go for a walk when it's a little humid outside. I'm sweating like a pig.
Neither can he.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's just amazing. The whole thing is just an amazing story. But going back to those Blue Jays, like, you know what I think it is about these guys? I find them very likable. Like the whole lineup, like you go through, you know, all the batters, even some of like Adams, that young back catcher, you know, their pitching staff, they've, and even Charlie Montoya, like they're a very likable group of players, who are doing some pretty cool things out there. And I, for me, that's the appeal. I know they can hit. I know that, but to me, I like, cause I know, Bautista could hit, but he just wasn't likable to me at all.
Well, different mindsets, certainly, and it shows you the contrast between these new Jays, the next generation, and the ones that were going to the postseason for a couple of years there. And you see them on the bench, in the dugout, they're having fun, they're joking around with each other, they're clearly really tight and good friends. It's impressive. And then the other thing, too, Strutty, to add to that is the resiliency. I mean, I know that they just put a ton of money into their spring training facility down in Dunedin. It looks beautiful, but that's not a MLB facility. That's not an everyday facility. That's spring training. That's your single A, your low A, high A, and you get your guys going in there for rehabilitation and all that. And then they had to bounce over to Buffalo. They kick out the Bison, send them to Trenton, New Jersey, and they pump money into that field there, that Salem Field. It's a nice ballpark. I've seen games there. Nice to see them put money in there. But that can't be conducive generally to good play, like when you're bouncing around like that and you're not truly at home. So there is that resiliency factor that goes hand in hand with them being likable and their coach playing, what does he play? The bongos in his coach's office, Charlie Montoya, yeah. Former Expo. Yeah, they are likable and they're having some success and they're in a tough division. It's fun to watch. They're writing a great story right now and hopefully they get back to Toronto soon. And I know their fans are waiting for them eagerly.
Tommy, have yourself a good one. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to that game tonight. See you guys.